Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, hello. This is Caroline Siniza Levine, co-founder of Six Figure Start and host for today's episode of the Six Figure Start Career Advice Radio Show. Six Figure Start is a career coaching firm dedicated to helping you build fulfilling and financially rewarding careers. Joy and money are not mutually exclusive. You can earn a great living doing work that you love. Six Figure Start is comprised exclusively of former Fortune 500 recruiters, so our approach is based on the inside knowledge of what companies are really looking for, the behind the scenes in the hiring process. My specialty is career change and also that employee to entrepreneur transition, because sometimes fulfillment and financial reward mean you need to do a different career altogether or go into business for yourself. We have a lot of free resources on our site, including archived episodes of past Blog Talk Radio shows. Visit sixfigurestart.com for more information. And in fact, in the last couple of weeks, I've posted a number of special episodes of Blog Talk Radio. So I've been talking to Laura Basson, who is a campus recruiting specialist, about the job search for students and recent graduates, including international students looking to work in the U.S. I talked to Katie Volz, who is a former recruiter for financial services and management consulting, and we talked a lot about networking in that call, and we talked about how things have changed and haven't changed. You know, networking has always been important, but there are some new channels to it, and we talked about how that's changing the game. And then I also interviewed Sharon Small, who coaches across industries but was an HR professional, predominantly in retail for Target, for Donna Karen. And so she had some interesting things to say about how the interview process these days has changed, how it's become a more complex and layered process. So look for those episodes. Look for our blog articles. I post at least once a week, sometimes more than once a week, on all areas of job search and career. And while you're there, you can sign up for our bi-monthly newsletter for tips and advance notice of upcoming events delivered right to your inbox. You can also fill out our contact form and ask a question for a future Blog Talk Radio show, because the main part of our show, this is a special episode today, I'm doing an interview today, but normally our shows focus on Q&A, and so we love to get your questions about career, and so you can submit that on the Six Figure Start site, and you know, just a lot of information there. But I'm so excited to welcome on the show, it's actually a repeat guest. So, Renita, I can see that you're on the call. Are you here, Renita?
I am here. Hi, Caroline.
Great. So, hi, Renita. So, today's episode is with peak performance expert, mental toughness coach, Renita Calhorn. Renita is, I mean, where can I even start? I call her the modern-day renaissance person, because she's a Juilliard-trained pianist. She's got an MBA from INSEAD. She's got a black belt in the martial arts. So you really have the right brain, left brain thing down. And so your focus is on peak performance, mental toughness across disciplines. So you work with executives, you know, corporate professionals, but also you're looking at kind of the science behind peak performance and mental toughness, looking at stories across the arts, across athletics, and you also coach Navy SEAL candidates, which I think is just the coolest thing. So obviously you can tell us about mental toughness, and I wanted to talk to you about this topic as it relates particularly to careers, right? Because most of our listeners are they're either looking for a job, so they're in transition, or they're in a job and looking for that next step, a promotion, a lateral move, or, you know, maybe they're happy in their role, but they want to optimize, you know, do better, perhaps hit the bonus target or whatnot. And, you know, it's stressful. I mean, a lot of jobs these days are stressful. They're anxiety-producing. There's restructuring. I can see the need for mental toughness. So I'd be curious, what are you seeing, you know, with your corporate clients? What are some of the recurring issues?
Well, the first thing that came to mind when you started talking about the audience and what their current situation might be, the phrase came into my mind that the enemy, for most of us these days, because we're so busy and so overwhelmed, is to be in autopilot. And so instead of stopping and really creating a strategic plan for our life, no matter what our situation is, we're too often defaulting to a routine, autopilot, and a routine that may not necessarily be serving us, may not necessarily be getting us where we want to go, but it's comfortable, it's familiar, and so we kind of default to that. And I would say the first step is to understand what is that routine and how can I start to fine-tune it so that I'm gradually, it doesn't have to be dramatic, but gradually turning in the direction that I ultimately want to go.
So, you know, that's interesting that you talk about routine. You know, in one of my other interviews, Laura Basson, another coach, had said you want to get out of your comfort zone. So, like, what are some routines that you see even smart professionals kind of fall into, and what might be, I mean, you mentioned, you know, it doesn't have to be a big change, but like, what are some of the things that they can do? If it's a routine, they probably don't even realize that they're doing it. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, science, with science now, we know that 99% of what we do is unconscious. There's really only 1% that we're consciously doing. So most of our behaviors, our actions, our thoughts, our beliefs are driven unconsciously. So, I mean, the first step is just to start to raise awareness. And, you know, I tell clients, just start to do, take one small action that you do on a regular basis and do it slightly differently. So it could be something as mundane as brushing your teeth with the other hand. If you're right-handed, brush it with your left hand. If you're washing dishes with your right hand, use your left hand. Right? So right hand, left hand, that's an easy switch. Just start to notice maybe you take a slightly different route to work. Find ways that you can just slightly tweak what you're doing so that it's not dramatic, but it's just enough that you have to pay a little more attention. So that would be one thing I would do in terms of just a mundane routine. And then once you're in the office, I would say something like meetings. Everybody's going to meetings all the time. But are you strategically planning how you're going to, and I would call it a performance, how you're going to perform in a meeting? Most people are just going to the meeting and can't, and waiting until it's over. And I would suggest that you go in with even just the slightest strategic plan. This is the opinion that I want to express. This is the, I want to create more of a bond with this person. Just have some kind of strategic objective. Going into a meeting. That would be another way to slightly break up your routine and give it more of a forward momentum goal orientation.
Right. You know, another question that I get a lot around peak performance is it's actually around things that aren't routine. You know, so people are fearful or anxious about a performance review or about a meeting with their boss where maybe they have to push back or deliver some bad news, or it's a job interview. Or a raise request, right? So these are things actually that are not routine, and in fact, it's hard to practice for them, right? So what do you tell people about these high-stakes events?
Well, I think it is hard to practice, but that is the key, preparation and practice. And you and I have talked a lot about this in our presentations. But you wouldn't go into a music performance or an athletic performance without having rehearsed or trained, and yet people go into interviews with just the minimum of practice. So I think practicing, actually talking through what you want to say in the interview or in a performance review is key, because people underestimate what's going to happen when they get nervous, what it's going to feel like when their mouth is really dry and their tongue doesn't move properly and their hands are all clammy, and they get really thrown off by that. And so, of course, their performance is going to be subpar.
Right. Do you work with people who are so nervous that they need either special triggers or special advice or special practice just to deal with the nervousness? Because I hear that question a lot, that you know, I'm so nervous, I lose my train of thought, or they'll ask me a question and I go blank, even though after the interview, of course, I think of the witty answer or the example that I should have shared, you know, 30 minutes ago. So how do you get people to stop doing that?
Well, I mean, it does go back again to the practice. So you want to be practicing losing your train of thought in a safe environment so that you can practice regaining your train of thought. So you might even practice with a hostile, there's something, you know, in my field we call adversity training, where you intentionally create adverse circumstances. So maybe you practice with somebody who's yawning, someone who's looking at their phone, someone who looks really disinterested, so that you get a sense of how you're going to react under those situations. Maybe someone asks you hostile questions so that you can practice. For me, there are what I call trigger questions for people. If someone's had a long gap in their interview, for example, or in their career history, they're always dreading being asked that question in an interview. So I'll say to them, just practice hearing that question, because just hearing that question, so what have you been doing for the last 2 years, causes your heart to beat faster. It causes that fight or flight reaction. And so you don't want to be taken by surprise by that. You want to practice feeling that fight or flight, so then you can override it with a more rational response. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And so I'm so curious, and I'm sure the listeners will be curious about your work with Navy SEAL candidates, right? So
mm-hmm.
This is a very, very extreme form of mental toughness, obviously, that they'll need to get through their training. And so what are some, you know, maybe tips and strategies that you work on with them, or do you think that's just so far removed from the corporate scene that nothing translates?
No, absolutely not. I mean, a lot of the Navy SEAL candidates now are civilians. So they're coming from the workplace, from investment banking, from technology. And so we talk about basic behavioral change. And so one thing I'll give them is exercises, actual mental exercises that they can practice now in their civilian life, so that when they get to BUDS, which is that hell week of intense, rigorous training, they have some actual tools to reach for. So, for example, impulse control. Impulse control is basically the idea that when you want something, let's say it's you're used to having a cookie in the afternoon when you have that afternoon slump. Well, if you tell yourself, all right, I can have the cookie, but I'm going to wait 10 minutes, that's a way of exercising your impulse control muscle, because you're not actually depriving yourself of the cookie. You're just strengthening that ability to put it off, to use some impulse control. And often people will find that if they wait the 10 minutes, after 10 minutes that impulse isn't as strong, and so they have much more control to make a better decision. So that's a very simple exercise that anyone can use any time to be constantly strengthening their impulse control.
Right. Are you finding that people are coming to you with different concerns or different issues than, say, you know, a few years ago, or are you hearing the same kinds of concerns from your corporate clients?
Well, I would just say that I've observed, and in myself as well as in others, just this growing sense of overwhelm. And of course, it comes from technology and just this sense of how much information there is in the world and how much we know now, how much we're exposed to what's going on, which just ramps up all the possibilities for anxiety. So I see a lot more higher anxiety levels, and seeing that people just haven't been equipped. They don't have the tools to deal with it. So that's one piece. And then a piece that goes along with that, I would say, is just this matter of self-confidence and self-doubt. I feel like there's just so much information out there about what other people are doing or other what's going on, and there's just more opportunity to feel like you're not doing enough, that you're never doing enough. And it just creates this inner monologue of constant criticism and, berating. And I think that's another place where we don't really have tools. It's really helpful just to have some language to talk to yourself in so that you're not letting that inner critic drive the monologue.
Right. So do you suggest that people, try to somehow tune that out, that they don't look at the barrage of, that they don't try to compare themselves to other people? I think the two things you pointed out, the information overload and the constant, comparisons with everyone mm-hmm. posting their wins on Facebook and stuff. I would totally agree that that is something that is on the uptick more recently. But I don't know the answer to that, right? So what has worked either for you or for some of your clients?
Well, I'll throw out a couple of things. I mean, there are external things that you can do. Really control how much time you spend on social media. They've done studies now about how people are spending more time on their phones. And when you've got these constant alerts that you've got an email or someone liked your post, and you're constantly looking and checking and looking and checking whether there's something there or not, it's creating this state of hypervigilantism, which is basically continuous, constant fight or flight reaction. You're constantly in this survival mode where you feel like you're under attack or that everything is a threat. And so even the position of looking at your phone, where you're kind of hunched over, looking down, that's a fight or flight position. So everything about this whole technology interaction is encouraging more of a fight or flight kind of approach to life. So that would be the first thing I would say, is really take a look at your relationship with technology and social media in particular, and cut it down or really batch it into certain times of the day so that it's more limited, it's more controlled, it's not just this constant reactive behavior. And then the other piece of that is just to really listen to that voice. A lot of people don't even know that that voice is something that they is going on. It's just something that they hear and they think it's real. But first, just to recognize that that voice is not reality. You are not your thoughts. And a technique that I've used with my clients that's been very effective is to give that voice a name. Give that voice a persona so that you have some separation between you and this inner critic. And just doing that alone has been very effective, because now you can talk to that inner voice and have a dialogue. And I teach my clients how to negotiate with that voice. So there's some give and take, and it's not just this tyrant who's running the show.
There is a framework that you talk about, creation mode versus survival mode. Can you just explain to the listeners? I mean, I find that to be such an interesting way of thinking about our behavior and our mindset.
Yeah. So survival mode is basically when we're existing in the survival emotions, the limited emotions of resentment, fear, guilt, anger, anxiety, that this long list of emotions that we probably feel pretty regularly. And that's what I call survival mode, because when you're in survival, you have no... there's no free mental energy to kind of lift your head and think creatively. You're just worried. You're seeing everything as a threat. And so you're constantly scanning the landscape to look for potential threats. And so that's what I would call survival mode. And that's what I would say most people are in, 80, 90% of the time. They get an email with sort of an inflammatory subject line, need to see you in my office in 30 minutes, right there. If your boss sends you that email, that's going to create a fight or flight reaction. You're in survival mode. So the flip side of that is to be in creation mode, where you're open to letting things unfold. You're not trying to control everything. When you're in survival mode, you're trying to control what happens because you don't want any uncertainty. And when you're in creation mode, you're willing to let things unfold, to be in a place of appreciation and gratitude and compassion and, you know, these more elevated emotions. And that's where you get your best ideas. That's where you create your best relationships. So that's it's a mental model that I've been using more just as a way for to just kind of evaluate where you are. Am I more in survival mode or am I more in creation mode? Right. And it doesn't really have so much to do with creativity as an artist, but just more in this place of uncertainty where you're letting things, where you're creating things instead of just reacting.
Right. And in terms of, I mean, we know now that you coach Navy SEAL candidates, but who else do you coach? Is it predominantly corporate executives? Is it, you know, entrepreneurs? Is it specific industries? Like, who benefits from this type of work?
Well, I would say that I work more with a certain type of person, a certain psychographic. And it's the kind of person that loves to learn and is always looking for ways to get better. So that could be a corporate executive or an entrepreneur. But it's more this mindset. And so they tend to have a background in sports or in music because they understand this idea of mastery where you're constantly fine-tuning your craft and there's always more to learn and always more to fine-tune. And it's not about avoiding failure or some finite achievement and then you're done.
Are there specific areas that you feel like all corporate executives should master? I mean, is there like a checklist of skills that you're working against and saying, okay, so have you thought about this, that, and the other thing? Like, what are some of the skill sets then that they should
be
mastering?
Well, I love to talk about mental muscles. I just love this idea of training. And so some of the key muscles that I've identified, and this, by the way, is what I think of when I think of mental toughness. Mental toughness is just sort of this umbrella phrase that I use for training our mind. And it's not just about gritting your teeth and, you know, doing a tough mutter. It's really just about developing all our mental capacities as fully as possible. So some of the key muscles that I've identified are focus, resilience, courage, curiosity is a huge one, because curiosity helps you to see possibility, self-confidence, and one of the key sort of ultimate skills or muscles that I would identify is this ability to be in flow and to be in this peak state where you're absolutely feeling no self-consciousness and you're totally operating at the height of your ability and the challenge is matching that ability. And so you're really just perfectly stretched. So those are some of the key muscles that I focus on. And then, of course, there are all these sort of sub-muscles or subsets of those areas.
That's great. And so if people want to learn more about you, about this area of mental toughness, where is the best place to get more information?
Well, I think the best place to start would be my website, which is stepupyourgamenow.com. I've got a blog there with a lot of information. I'm planning on coming out with a program, actually, because I think it's so important to really help people focus on one thing at a time. And so I'm coming out with a mental training program that's going to be sort of a weekly exercise where they can just focus on one aspect of mental training at a time and knowing that they're each going to build on each other over the course of time.
That's
great.
And so
that information will be on my site when it comes out.
Great. So stepupyourgamenow.com. Renita Calhoun, thanks so much. I know I'm going to have you back on the show because you're always on the show. So
always happy to come, Caroline.
Have you back on the show in a few months, I'm sure. And I am a big, big Renita fan. Her blog is fantastic. Step Up Your Game Now. Renita, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Caroline.
So there you have it, mental toughness and peak performance advice from Renita Calhoun. This is so important for job seekers and for even, you know, experienced professionals who are happy in their job and aren't thinking about making any moves whatsoever, you know, market conditions change and conditions at your company change. And so what has worked before doesn't necessarily work, you know, tomorrow. So you always need to be prepared to do something different, to take some risks. And that's where peak performance comes in. And let's face it, in day-to-day corporate life, you are going to have meetings. You're going to have performance reviews. You are going to have difficult conversations with your boss, with senior management, with colleagues, with vendors, with your team. And so this notion of how do I operate at peak performance and how do I stay mentally tough and how do I have that focus, that confidence, that curiosity, and all of those mental muscles that Renita was talking about, that's so important across industries, across levels, for job seekers and for the gainfully employed alike. So I hope that that was as helpful to you as it was for me. I always love hearing about this stuff. I can't tell you how important it is as a recruiter and now a career coach. You know, if I have a candidate who is mentally tough, who is performing, you know, at their peak, you know, in an interview situation, in a performance review, that's then an easy hire. That's an easy promotion. This stuff really matters. And so I hope you join us for our next show. I am scheduling a show with recruiter turned coach Liz Kolodny. She has an extensive background in financial services and consumer products. She's going to share her insights, strategies, tips, behind-the-scenes look at the hiring process in our next episode. And I'll also be back for the regular shows, the Q&A. So send your questions to sixfigurestart.com, and I look forward to having you on future shows. This is Caroline Siniza Levine, co-founder and career coach with Six Figure Start, and thank you for joining us for the Six Figure Start Career Advice Show. See you next time.